Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and you're at the Right Now Mastermind class for October 2012. Today, I'm going to be giving you some of my favorite productivity tips, but before I begin, I want to let you know about what's going on in the future. In November, on the 28th, we'll be having Julie Cantrell talking about how to write a best-selling novel without ever taking a class or a writing class. And Julie has done a great job. Her novel's a bestseller on both the USA Today list and on the New York Times bestseller list. So I look forward to talking to her and getting her tools for writing and her tips for writing a best-selling novel. We won't be meeting in December, but we'll have some great, great resources for you in the new year, including a young adult author coming to talk about her writing and a professional speaker talking about how we can sharpen our speaking skills as writers. So today I'm going to be talking about productivity tips for writers. Some of you are signed up to do National Novel Writing Month. Some of you are signed up to write nonfiction in November, which is a program where you can write a nonfiction book in a month. Some of you just want to produce more. And so my hope is today's call will be helpful for you. A little bit about my experience. I've been writing fast for years. I received a fellowship to do my second master's degree. The only catch was I had to do it all in a year, meaning take all the classes, write the thesis, work as a teaching assistant, have a life, all that stuff. And I was able to do that. And that was great practice because through the years as I've worked with various publishing houses, both in writing books and periodical articles, I've noticed that often publishing houses have tight deadlines. And when I've done a ton, when I've done work for hire, one of the things I've noticed is that they often want the book or the article or the resource done in 4 weeks or 5 weeks. And so the tools I'm going to teach you today are the tools that have helped me to write books fast. A lot of these come from my book, Write-A-Thon, Write Your Book in 26 Days and Live to Tell About It. Some of them are new tools. I continually am researching and trying to learn new ways to be able to increase my productivity. So my hope is that this will be helpful for you. I want to give you a caveat before I begin, and the caveat is this. What I'm talking about today is not kind of a quick fix to making yourself a more productive writer, although some of these tools could be used as quick fixes. This, what I'm talking about today is really about creating a life that supports your writing. And if you can create a life that supports your writing, and if you can incorporate some of these tools into your life, you're going to be a much more productive writer. So it's not a get fast quick program. So let's start. There's 10 tools, and really what it is a process that you can go through. So go ahead and take notes. I'm recording the call. I hope to post the call when we're done, so you'll be able to come back and listen to it. The first tool is to define productivity for you. I think that when it comes to talking about writing productively, each of us has our own definition of what it means to be productive. And we each have our own ways of measuring productivity. And in fact, I think every one of us might define productivity differently depending on the day we're asked and the task that we're working on. If you're participating in National Novel Writing Month, you know that they define productivity in terms of word count. How much do you write a day and how many words can you write in a month? So productivity is defined by how many words you amass in a single session. But productivity is not just how many words you can write or how many writing chunks you can finish. It includes making progress in a lot of areas of writing, including research, building character, plot, and a world or a setting, structuring your book, revising your book, editing your book. So one person might think a morning is productive if they write 2,000 words. Well, another person might think a morning is productive if they discover how a plot twist is going to unfold. or how they're going to structure an article. Both people are right. Both are ways of being productive. So the first tip is really create your own definition or definitions of productivity. And know that your definition of productivity might change from one day to the next. So one day it might be that you're able to finish a couple of articles, and another day it might be that you're able to think through the structure of a book or make it through research of this many articles. For me, in my most productive times, I'm able to think clearly and work on the task at hand, whatever that is, even if it's a challenging task. So tip one, define productivity for yourself. Tip two is examine your writing life and habits. So much of what I teach will help anyone. But as a teacher and a writing coach, and as a writer myself, I've noticed that each writer has particular habits and processes that work for us. And it's important to honor those. So I'm going to encourage each of you to put on your scientist hat for a few weeks. And what I want you to do is track your writing and your life schedule. It's the easiest thing to do is to do this for a couple of weeks and, you know, be aware of it. If you don't have time, you know, if you're starting National Novel Writing Month tomorrow and you want to think, oh, my gosh, what can I do right now to help me tomorrow, then take a look at your last 2 or 3 weeks of writing and try to reconstruct the data. What you do when you track your writing life and schedule is you keep a notebook or an electronic file of your schedule, and you note things like where and when you write, how much writing you produce, or how well you meet your writing goals in each writing session. You note what was going on before, during, and after each writing session. And then after a few weeks, you look at the data you've collected, and you pay attention to things like, well, when was I the most productive? And when was I the most productive by my own definition? When did I meet my writing goals? When did I do what I set out to do? When was I the least productive? Is there a certain time of day that I was the most productive? Is there a certain time of day that I was the least productive? Is there a setting in which I produced the most amount of work? Is there a setting in which I produced the least amount of work? And, you know, what are some of the factors that were surrounding those times when I was producing a lot of work, and what are some of the factors that are surrounding the time when I was producing the least amount of work? And then, you know, finally, what habits seem to lead to more productive writing time, and what habits led to less productive writing time? And once you've done this for a couple of weeks, you're going to get some really good ideas of what works for you and what doesn't. And you're going to be able to tweak your writing schedule so that you can figure out what works for you. And you can apply my tips and tools to your specific writing preferences. One thing I've noticed for myself is that I write much better first thing in the morning than I do at any other time of day. That doesn't mean I can't write in the afternoon or in the evening or whatever. It just means that I know that I produce more during those first few hours of the day before I've checked email or gone on Facebook or watched a bunch of television or whatever. When I have days within that time frame that are not productive, then I look around and say, well, what else is going on that's making me not so productive? So that data that you collect about yourself is going to be really helpful because it's going to teach you things that are particular to you that may not apply to all writers or may not apply to all people that are trying to be productive. So tip two is to really examine your writing life and habits and tweak according to that. My third tool is to schedule writing time. If you have heard me talk before, you know I'm just an absolute stickler on this. I really think that the key to getting writing done is scheduling it in the calendar. I think it's best if you can schedule time to write at your most productive writing time. So if you can schedule it, if you're most energetic in the morning, then schedule it. Then if you're most energetic between 5 and 7 or between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m., then schedule it then. If you've heard me talk before, then you've no doubt heard me quote some of the research. One of the research pieces that I quote comes from the book The Power of Full Engagement. And they talk about this study where women were asked to schedule breast self-exams. And some people were just told to do them, and some people were told to schedule when and where. And 100% of the people who scheduled when and where they would do their breast self-exam did it. There's a brand new book out on time management called 18 Minutes by Peter Bregman. And in that book, he quotes a study of two groups of drug addicts in withdrawal who were asked to write an essay before 5 p.m. on a certain day. The first group was given no more instructions. The second group was asked to decide when and where they would write their essay. No one in the first group completed the essay. So not one person who said they'd do it but didn't say when did it. But 80% of the people who designated when and where they would write the essay actually finished it. So that's pretty remarkable. So I think that if you're going to get writing done, you need to schedule it in the calendar, even if you're only scheduling 15-minute blocks of time. One of the things that I've taken to doing, and I, honestly, even though I talk about this and I've been doing this for a long time, I fall off the wagon all the time. And so one of the things I've taken to doing is laying out my calendar probably 2 months in advance and scheduling writing time. And what I do is I actually color it in heavily with a colored pencil so I'm not tempted to put clients in there or other things. So tip number three, schedule writing time. Tip number four is schedule writing projects. Plan what project you will work on during each writing slot. Most writers I work with have multiple ideas and multiple projects going. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. Usually we have some blog stuff we're working on. We might have one or two assignments we're working on. And then we have, you know, the passion of our heart. You know, the thing that we really want to write, the novel or the memoir or the nonfiction book that we're just so excited about it. And over the years, I've noticed that I tend to write towards deadline. And so if an article is due tomorrow, I'll work on that today. And then those projects that I'm really excited about, I never get to them. Even if I put them on my to-do list, I never get to them. I've noticed that if I don't schedule time for a particular project, even if it's a project I'm passionate about, even if it fits on my to-do list, I don't do it. I only do projects that are tied to deadlines or scheduled on my calendar. So after many years of trial and error, I have figured out that I need to sit down with my list of deadlines and dream projects at least once a week and slot them into the writing time. So I know that on Tuesday I'm working on the memoir, or on Wednesday I'm working on the novel. If you're doing National Novel Writing Month, you know, you have it easy because you know that every day in your writing time you're going to be working on your National Novel Writing Month project. But if you want to also do some blog posting or if you have some other deadlines to meet, it really helps to slot that into your schedule. Other things that I recommend you schedule to increase your productivity is schedule time to query, schedule time to research the market so you know who to query, schedule time to develop ideas. All those things are things that don't just happen naturally. They need to be scheduled into your calendar. So tip four is to schedule writing projects. Tip five is make a plan for how to overcome blocks, interruptions, and anything else that might be that might come between you and your writing. We've already talked about writing down when and where you're going to do something and how that makes you more likely to do it. Now I want to talk about how you can use this same planning tool to make sure that you write even if you're in the middle of a big storm like Sandy, or the kids get sick and you're stuck taking care of puking children, or you get a bad case of writer's block. I just read an interesting study in the book The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And in this study, a group of participants were recovering from hip and knee surgery. And one group was given a booklet with their rehab schedule. And the other group was given a booklet with their rehab schedule and blank pages. And they were asked to write down their goals for rehab and how they would achieve them. Some people wrote down their goals and also how they would achieve them if they ran into difficulty. So they might write something like, you know, every day at 3, I'm going to walk to the bus to meet my spouse. And, you know, if I'm feeling unstable that day, I'm going to take my cane so I can still go. I'm going to mark out where there are benches so if I get tired, I can sit down on the way, and so forth. After a few months, what they found is that the people who wrote down their goals and then also their plans for how they'd handle difficulties while they were trying to achieve their goals, these people were walking twice as fast as those who did not do that. And I was really just kind of taken with this because it got me to thinking that as writers, we can come up with our own plan for when to write and how we're going to overcome blocks. So let's say you schedule writing, and let's say you plan to work on revising a scene from your novel. So we might imagine some of the difficulties we could encounter and make a plan for it. Like, you know, if I can't figure out how to make the scene work, I'll do a mind map and brainstorm possible solutions. If that doesn't work, I'll look at how I solved the problem in other novels I've written. Or if that doesn't work, I'm going to look at a few other novels with similar scenes and see what they do. So that kind of thinking through what might happen, and, you know, you can do that in terms of, you know, what am I going to do if the phone rings? What am I going to do if, you know, I get an emergency call from the kids' school? What am I going to do if the kids are sick? All that kind of pre-planning helps us to be more productive because not only do we have plan A, we have plan B and C and D and E. And, you know, for me, as I write primarily nonfiction, when I'm working on a large nonfiction book project, I usually have the day scheduled. I usually have what I'm going to write scheduled. But then I probably have two or three other things that I can work on in case. So I'll know that if I'm blocked and, you know, don't feel like I have enough information to write about this topic, I can write about a second topic or a third topic. Or if my kids are homesick and I need to be sitting with them, then I can do research or I can put together the bibliography or something like that. So tip 5 or tool 5 is plan ahead of time for how to overcome blocks, interruptions, and anything else that might come between you and your writing. And that's just going to mean that the hour or the hour and a half that you set aside for writing that gets some sort of drama happening during it won't be wasted. You will be able to keep working. Tool number 6 is practice pre-writing. This is a tool that comes from my training with the National Writing Project. One of the things I learned, and the National Writing Project is a program that teaches teachers how to teach writing across the subject. So if you're teaching science or math or so forth, how do you use writing and how do you teach writing as a way of approaching the topic? And one of the things they taught us is that students seem to write better if they can start the project with some sort of pre-writing. So some brainstorming or a mind map or some sort of chart that helps them to get their ideas down before they have to try to form them into some sort of an essay. Or a paragraph. And I really love this tool because for my whole life, the blank page has kind of been a frightening thing for me. I can rarely write if I get to the computer and have to start from scratch on a blank piece of paper. I'll just, you know, all the ideas I had while I was working out or driving the kids to school or whatever have just evaporated and I have nothing. I do much better if I have a plan ahead of time. So because I write in the morning, I tend to kind of have an idea of what I'm going to write the next day and do some mind mapping or jot down some ideas on the topic, brainstorm a scene before the next day. And then I leave that open on my computer or I leave it open in front of my computer so it's there. If I don't get a chance to pre-write the day before I get to the computer, I that will be the first thing I do before I write. I'll sit down with a blank piece of paper and my topic and try to, you know, just think through some ideas so that when I get to the computer and I'm trying to put things together, I'm not freaked out by the blank piece of paper. You know, part of this works, part of the reason this works is it takes away the fear of the blank page. The other thing, reason it works is because it helps us get started more quickly. Professional coach Sean Aker has this thing called the 20-second rule. He says that if you can take 20 seconds off the start of a task, you're more inclined to follow through. So because I decide my writing topic ahead of time, because I do some pre-writing ahead of time, and then because I leave the document open, I've shaved those first 20 seconds at least off the task, and I've taken away some of the hurdles that could keep me from actually working on my project. So that's tool six, practice pre-writing. Take some time to brainstorm. Take some time to mind map. Get some ideas down on paper before you actually have to write the scene. And if you're not a person who wants to pre-write, you know, in your on by hand, you can do this in your head. I remember hearing Minette Anzey talk many years ago. She's a novelist who's won many awards, and she has some eye issues, and so she can't really be on the computer for hours and hours and hours. So she said that she would do a lot of pre-writing in her head, and then go and work on the computer. And then she'd go back and write some more in her head and then go enter it into the computer. So pre-writing doesn't just have to be notes on paper. Pre-writing can be the thoughts that you kind of put together about a scene while you're exercising or doing the dishes or, you know, taking the kids to school or walking the dogs. My next tool, number seven, is eliminate distractions. And if you've heard me talk before, you know I'm a big stickler about kind of getting technologically free before you write. I recently read a book called Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life by Paul Hammerness and Margaret Moore. Their theory is that that the people who are most productive are people who are operating from an organized mind. And there's certain things we can do to help organize our mind. And one thing is eliminating distractions. They talk about setting up an interruption-free zone. In fact, one of the things that they talk about and other people have written about is that, you know, we almost create something called an attention deficit trait by being constantly connected to texting and Twitter and Facebook and all these other sorts of information coming in. And in order to really produce something, we need to have an interruption-free zone. So I think this is a really good idea for writers. It can help us be more productive if while we're writing, we're not distracted by all those things that are external from us and demanding our attention. So we're not distracted by incoming text or incoming calls. We're not distracted by Twitter tweets or Facebook updates or email messages. There are some fancy programs that I've written about frequently in my blog that can help you shut off access to the internet, email, and minimize all the other stuff on your computer so you just have a big white screen or a big black screen and you can just kind of focus on writing. I don't think you need any special bells and whistles. I would just encourage you to turn it all off. I usually leave my phone on because I have kids at school, and you know, I think the school workers like me to pick them up if they're puking, so I want to make sure that I'm able to do that. Other than that, you know, I don't do anything. I don't even look at email until I put in my daily writing. You know, if you live in a house that's chaotic and, you know, I have two dogs, I have two kids, I have a husband, it can be hard to concentrate. So you might need to leave the house to write. You might need to take a day and go to the library or go to the coffee shop or even, you know, rent a room somewhere or, you know, find a friend who's got a cabin that you can work at. If you're going to go to a public place, bring headphones because a public place can be just as distracting as your house. So tip seven is eliminate distractions. And I talked mostly about kind of electronic distractions, but if there are other things that are going to be distracting to you in your writing place, get rid of them. You know, so if you're writing where there's tons of laundry, just move the laundry to the basement. If you're writing in a place where there's tons of stacked up papers or whatever, put them in a box, put them out of your sight. Often when I'm starting a new writing project, I will clear off shelves and just clear off things and put them in my closet and just so I can have a little bit of clear, visible space and I'm not looking at things I should be doing. Because what happens, and as I go, oh, well, actually that sounds like a lot more fun. I'd rather sort through whatever than work on this book. So another thing you might want to do when you think about eliminating distractions is eliminating those visual cues that kind of say, oh, do me, or you know, fold these this laundry, or take care of these phone calls. So that's tip number seven. Tip number eight is tame the frenzy and sustain attention. So this is kind of like two tips in one. And these phrases come from the book, Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, again by Hammerness and Moore. And when I send out the link to the recording, I'll send out a couple of these resources that I'm talking about. These are the first two steps in their system for organizing one's mind. And as I've worked with writers, one of the hardest things that writers face is this inner editor. And when Hammerness and Moore talk about tame the frenzy, they're talking about that kind of internal noise that we all have to deal with. So we've already talked about the external noise when we talk about eliminating distraction. But when we talk about taming the frenzy, we're talking about that inner noise. And we often call it the gremlins or the inner editor. And the inner editor is the voice that repeats to you every criticism that parents, teachers, editors, friends, colleagues, and anyone else who's talked with you about your writing has said to you at any time in your life. And this voice, along with the emotions they create in us, so along with the anxiety and fear and sadness and worry and anger, this makes it hard to write. You know, we're starting to work on our book and we hear, well, it's not going to be good enough, it'll never sell, you're just a hack. You know, nobody reads those kinds of books anyways. And according to Hammerness and Moore, in order to get things done, we need to let go of internal noise, external noise, and learn to work towards our goals. So learn not to respond to external goals but or external demands, but really work on towards our goal. So how do we do this? We've talked about eliminating external noise by eliminating distractions. We've talked about setting specific writing goals for each writing session. So we're really writing on what we want to write and not just responding to, you know, kind of, oh my gosh, there's a deadline, I've got to finish this. So both of those are going to help us tame the frenzy and pay attention. But what about the inner noise? How do we overcome the inner noise when we're trying to write? One study that was talking about circadian rhythms talked about how some people are most creative at night when they're a little tired and when their guard is down, so they can't be so critical of what they write. Not all of us have the ability to write at night or the time to write at night or the situation to write at night. So if you're not a night writer, you might try Anne Lamott's technique. In Bird by Bird, she talked about actually imagining the inner editor or the gremlin as a little creature you could put inside a canning jar and then put the lid on so you can't hear him, and then put the gremlin on a shelf and let him just stew while you write your book. And then you can bring him out when it's time to edit. For me, it's mostly about compartmentalizing, realizing that the inner editor does serve a purpose. I mean, the inner editor gives us that ability to step away from the project and look at it kind of with the bigger picture in mind. But the time to do that is not while we're writing it. The time to do that is later. So part of it is just having a little talk with myself and saying, okay, this is the time to write. And there will be a time and place for you, Mr. Inner Editor, or whatever, to help me out with the editing, and now is not it. So tip 8 is tame the frenzy and sustain attention. So do whatever you can do to quiet those inner voices, that inner noise that keeps you from writing, and so that you can focus on your goal-directed attention. Focus your goal-directed attention on the project you're working on. And a lot of the things we've talked about up until this point are going to help you do that. Tool number 9 is called use the breaks, and this also comes from that great book, Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life. The authors say that people who are most productive know when they are pursuing a thought or an action that will take them off task, and they purposefully put on the brakes. Most writers I work with get off task from time to time, and we usually have 3 ways that we get off task. First, is one that we've already talked about. We get an external distraction, like a text or a phone call or Twitter or a child screaming or something like that, will take us away from our work, you know. So be like, oh, I wonder what's going on Facebook. Or, oh, look, I got a text coming in. I wonder what that has to say. Or, oh, look, you know, someone's out cutting a tree down. I want to go see what's going on. So that first thing is that external distraction. We've already talked about ways to kind of prevent those things from interrupting us. The second thing that can get us off task is the thrill of a new idea, often for a different project. This happens just so much among creatives. And if you're someone with ADHD or ADD, this is probably something that happens a lot to you, because people with ADD and ADHD tend to be incredibly creative. And so, you know, it's easy to jump from great idea to great idea to great idea and then not get to the project in hand. Creatives, we have tons of ideas. Our minds are going a million miles an hour. And the ideas tend to come when we're hard at work at being creative. So if we're, you know, working on a creative project, our mind is just fueled and we get like 1,000 new ideas. And the problem is the lure of the new idea can take us away from the work. So we're working on our National Novel Writing Month novel and we think, oh my gosh, I could write a nonfiction book about this. And then we start working on that. And then I think, oh my gosh, I could do this. Oh, this could be a children's book. And by the time the morning is done, you know, we've come up with 6 or 7 new ideas, and maybe not finished the one we started. And the third way we get distracted or derailed from our book or our work is the nagging feeling like, oh, I think I need to do more research on this, or I need to check this fact, or, you know, I'm wondering what houses were built of in that era, or, you know, I'm wondering if you, in fact, you know, how long would it take you to fly from Chicago to Hong Kong, and what time do flights usually leave, and, oh, I should really check this right now, or I'm wondering about such and such's life, or whatever it is. And usually these nagging feelings, these questions, will lead us down the path of long internet searches or trips to the library or conversations with experts, and they will just get us off task. A variation of this for writers is, oh, my goodness, I need to restructure the book, or I need to add a new section, or, you know, I need to rewrite the scene, or whatever. So these are 3 ways that we can get derailed, and the tool is to use the break. So the 3 ways, again, are external distractions, new ideas, or the need to research, revise, or whatever. The best tool I found for putting on the brakes before we get derailed, before we go off into a different direction, is creating an idea file. I always have at least 1, sometimes 2, either an electronic or physical idea file open while I work. Usually I have a physical idea file for random thoughts about whatever, and I usually have a file open for the project I'm working on, so that I can jot down worries and ideas. Or if I have a piece that I've written for the project I'm working on and I realize, oh my goodness, this isn't going to fit here, but I don't know where it's going to fit, and I don't want to lose the words, I'll put it into the idea folder for the project so I can come back to it and use it. The other thing that I found works very well is if you come to a place where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what kind of house they would have lived in, or I don't know what this house would have been made of, or I don't know how long it would have taken them to drive or fly or whatever, you can put that, you know, put your question in brackets in the book while you're writing, and then highlight it. And when you go back to revise, or when you have a time set aside to address those questions, you can go and add those in. But this way, you're able to put the brakes on those, oh, I have a new idea, or, oh, I need to revise, and keep moving forward. So tip 9 is use the brakes. Tip 10, and this is our last tip, so things are moving fast. So we'll go through, I'll finish all the tips, and then I'll review briefly, and then I'm going to open it up for questions. Tip 10 is to boost your energy. Writing energy is limited. I know that most people who work full-time jobs work 8 or 9 hours a day. And I've done a lot of reading about time and time management and energy level lately, and the thing that I keep coming across is it's really impossible for us to put in 9 hours of productive writing. It's just very challenging. And one of the things they said in Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life is that for most of us, we have energy to put in an hour at a time. People who have ADD or ADHD generally can count on doing about 15 minutes at a time and maybe building up with practice. We get tired and we need to take energy enhancing breaks, and that's perfectly normal. So don't beat yourself up if you get tired. There's a lot of stuff on the web and in blogs about, you know, oh my gosh, I need my coffee, I need my sugar to get through National Novel Writing Month or to get through this book. And I think some of that's great. And I think, you know, coffee and sugar definitely increase our energy and increase our ability to pay attention, but usually only for a short time. And they both lead to some energy crashes an hour or two down the line. So there are better ways to help maintain your energy. So I'm a big believer in doing some of the things that create a framework for having more energy to write. And those include exercising every day. Even taking a 10-minute exercise break can boost your energy. Eating healthy food, drinking tons of water, or water with lemon or hot tea. Those are all things that kind of form the web that supports your writing. But what do you do when, you know, you've got one day a week to write and you want to write, you know, for 5 or 6 hours? You want to do kind of a marathon. Well, then what you need to do is find ways to take energy-restoring breaks. So you write for an hour, where you write for 45 minutes and you do some sort of energy-restoring breaks. One of the things that's brand new research, it comes out of Japan, is this notion that looking at photos of cute baby animals can increase our focus and help us get more writing done. And I don't know if it works. I honestly don't know. I haven't really tried it, but I think it's an interesting idea. So next time you need a break, you know, find some cute baby animal pictures and see if that helps. The research that I'm most familiar with is the research on attention restoration theory. And this was developed by a couple of psychologists in the mid-80s. And their theory is that that attention is a limited resource and we're able to restore our attention for mental tasks by going outside and practicing some non-focused attention. So we're still engaged, we're still interested, we're curious, we're looking at things outside, we're maybe walking through a park and, you know, noticing nature, noticing the leaves or the branches or the bugs or whatever. And that kind of engaged but not focused activity can do amazing things to restore your attention and make it possible for you to continue working. The second bit of research I'm familiar with for boosting creativity is this idea that we get the eureka moment or the aha moment only when we're away from the task. So when we get stuck, the best thing to do is go do something repetitive, like take a walk, wash the dishes, fold the clothes, you know, cut vegetables. And while we're doing this kind of repetitive, mindless, boring task, our subconscious is able to work on the problem. And when we get back to the desk, you know, we know how we're going to structure the book. We know how we're going to write the scene. So that's tip number 10, restore your energy. So let me just briefly review this and then give you a final tip. The first tip is to define productivity for you. Make sure you are judging yourself based on your own ideas for productivity. The second is to put on your scientist hat and examine your writing life and habits and do what works for you, because each of us have certain habits that surround our most productive times and certain habits that surround our least productive times. And those are the things you're going to want to pay attention to as you create your writing life. Tip number 3 is schedule writing time. Put it right in the calendar in pen or in your electronic calendar in red so you know this is a non-negotiable thing. The fourth tool is to schedule writing projects. So not only do you have a time to write, but you know exactly what you're going to write during that time. Tip 5 or tool 5 is make a plan for how to overcome blocks, interruptions, and anything else that might come between you and your writing. I think it's very helpful if you can write this out so you have some ideas of what to do. You know, you can even make one of those fun flow charts like you see on Facebook or Pinterest. You know, if I can't write the scene, is it the problem that I don't know what to write? Yes, then do this. No. Well, is the problem that whatever. So figure that out ahead of time so that you're never wasting your writing time. You always have a solution. Tool 6 is to practice pre-writing. If you can do some writing ahead of time or even do some pre-writing before you actually work on your project, you're going to get much more done. Tool 7 is to eliminate distractions, so eliminate all those external stuff that shouts at you and wants you to do other things. Tool 8 is to tame the frenzy and sustain attention, or quiet those inner demons and pay attention to your goal. So work with taking those internal voices and giving them a time out or a vacation or whatever. Tool 9 is to use the breaks. Use some sort of a idea file or something like that to put in your grand ideas and your distractions until you're able to focus on them. So put the brakes on those things and keep working on your projects. And tool 10 is to boost your energy. Writing energy is limited, so expect to take breaks that are going to help you restore your energy. And my final tip, keep putting that scientist hat on from time to time. Notice what life habits make it easier for you to write and what life habits make it more difficult for you to write. I have found that certain habits make it easier for me to stay grounded and write daily. For me, that's exercise, reading, journaling, teaching. Other habits make it harder for me to write. So on days when I'm really connected to the media or on Twitter or Facebook a lot, I find it harder to write. And so sometimes I just need to tweak my schedule a little bit or tweak some of the things I do to write more. So I encourage you to, pay attention to your own writing life and schedule.